The latest news and analysis is brought to you every Monday to Thursday. Live in the Israel Update with Anthony Rice, only on Chai FM.
Anthony Rice, a very, very good morning to you. Did you hear the song we were just playing?
I was just going to say, has Eden Ben Zaken actually trumped Mazel and Brocha, Howard?
Well, on my show, you were never going to hear Mazel and Brocha. So, so anything, even, I don't know, any Afrikaans song, would have trumped that. But, okay. Yeah, indeed. So, yeah, we thought that was great. And apparently it's going to be, it looks to be a big hit in the summer in Israel.
Well, we hope so. It's certainly got the vibe and the beat, and it's very kind of influence. I think it's got a bit of Middle Eastern influence, and I think it's also got a kind of a slightly Greek influence.
Yes,
it sounds like
apparently.
It's amazing how Greek music and Israeli music do have some affinity with each other, and I feel that in that song. I think it's going to be a good song. I think people are going to like it, and I think it's going to be around in the summer. If we only get there, we're in for a very wintry period of the next few days. We're buttoning down the hatches at the moment because a huge storm is due. Rain, snow, cold weather. So everybody's preparing everywhere, buying in supplies in case people get snowed in. They're talking about snow in the north and potentially even snow in Jerusalem over the next few days. So we will be very cautious to see how all of that develops.
Okay, brilliant. And you'll keep us posted. Let's just talk about what's going on at the United Nations. The Palestinian Authority has assumed the presidency of a UN group that represents 134 countries. How does a non-member of the UN become president of a group?
That's exactly the question which I'm asking myself. Very, very strange situation. This is a group called Group 77 and China, which is the strangest name one could ever imagine for a group that actually has 134.
Static and
El Benzel Tavori. Exactly. 77 and China, yeah.
77 in China, which is apparently, as you said, a bloc that represents 134 nations. And in all honesty, I'm not exactly sure how significant this is, other than being a huge public relations boost for the Palestinian Authority. They had a huge celebration in Ramallah yesterday to mark the occasion. And of course, Mahmoud Abbas, the Palestinian Authority president, has received a real boost to his leadership. It's regarded as a victory for him, and indeed for what's known in the United Nations as the State of Palestine, for want of a better term. But it seems to me to be just a kind of a ceremonial thing more than anything else. I'm not really sure how much influence this group really has and how much influence the Palestinian Authority will have as president of this group. But it's nice for them for the moment and kind of an opportunity to stick a finger up to Israel saying, you know, even you guys couldn't achieve that, which is true at least for the moment. But it is a little strange that a member nation can assume the presidency of a group like this. It just kind of lends more legitimacy to the idea of the State of Palestine. And, you know, I just want to reiterate that in Israel, people generally don't oppose the idea of the State of Palestine. But the idea would be that, you know, we need to get to that point of that, that particular position through a negotiated settlement, through a negotiated passage of a process which will involve, amongst other things, the recognition of Israel to exist as a Jewish state along the borders of that state of Palestine. And so if we can get to that point, I think then we'll, you know, make significant progress. Unfortunately, there is no willingness at the moment not only to recognize Israel's right to exist as a Jewish state, but indeed even to talk about it. There is no dialogue at the moment. There is no discussion that's ongoing about that. And while I know that there are lots and lots and lots of very significant issues which have yet to be resolved, including the status of Jerusalem and including the status of refugees and including the militarization of a potential future Palestinian state, I think the critical point is the idea that that state, not only its leadership, but indeed the people who live in that state, will recognize Israel's right to exist as a Jewish state. And of course, you know, we can also talk about the problem that we have with Jews and Israelis not being allowed to own land Even now in the Palestinian Authority area, forget about what the future Palestinian state might involve. So, you know, that's clear discrimination, which needs to be resolved. There are many, many issues on the table. But in the meantime, these actions at the United Nations and in other international bodies, such as the United Nations, be it the International Criminal Court or whatever it is, actions of recognizing the Palestinian Authority as a de facto state of Palestine, I think are problematic. Because they really oppose the whole concept of getting to a negotiated state of Palestine, which lives in peace alongside Israel.
Well, it's interesting because Nikki Haley just tweeted just around about an hour ago, it's embarrassing for the UN membership that they would elect a non-member to represent and chair all of the G77 countries. This sort of coddling of the Palestinians is another way to keep them from coming to the negotiating table and is the reason that the UN is not taken seriously.
Although Nikki Haley and I could be good friends.
Yes.
I couldn't agree with her more.
At the same time, I didn't know
that she had tweeted that before.
Yeah, it was just an hour ago.
Yeah, I agree with every word.
Sorry, Howard, you were saying?
Except the Group of 77 is in fact not a United Nations body at all. It's a coalition founded originally by 77 nations within the United Nations who thought they didn't have a voice within the United Nations.
So it's almost like a sidebar.
It's a coalition of those countries in the United Nations who feel like they don't have a voice. And it's now grown to 134 nations. Some of the members of that
are China.
although China disputes really whether it's in or not, but some of those nations are very strongly aligned to, in fact, Israel itself. So it's almost like these smaller, less significant countries trying to find a voice for themselves. But this isn't a United Nations body.
It doesn't
say. But it's recognized at the United Nations, though, Howard. And I think that that's the critical point, that even though it might not be a body that comes formally under the umbrella of the United Nations, and I accept that point of view, it is actually formally recognized by the United Nations. Well, I mean, I know that it was set up on the sidelines, but it is part of, it has become part of the setup of the United Nations.
Well, it's a coalition within the United Nations. It's like a caucus that you would have in Parliament.
But it is formally recognized, though, by let's say the powers that be, by the formal kind of setup within the United Nations. And so while it is perhaps an informal caucus, as you might describe it, but it is formally recognized. And I think that therein lies the issue, that, you know, once these bodies have elected the Palestinian Authority slash the State of Palestine as the president, they become kind of formally recognized within the whole machinations
of the United
Nations.
It does add sort of legitimacy to it. I do want to move on because I want to cover the appointment of Aviv Kochavi. Now, he's become the IDF's 22nd Chief of General Staff. I started reading up on him last night, and I find him the most fascinating character, least of all because he's a vegan. Or a vegetarian.
Exactly. Well, we wanted to talk about the fact that he's a vegan, right? I mean, that's a really important point. It's become very, very fashionable to be a vegan in Israel.
Right.
And he's actually vegetarian. I don't know that he's
no,
a
yeah,
vegan.
No, it could be. I don't know the difference, really. I might add, nor do I care. So just tell us about him. He's also Harvard educated. He's an unbelievably interesting character.
He is a very interesting character. He's been serving in the IDF already for 36 years. He has come through the paratroopers brigade. He was involved, if not in charge, of the Gaza and the whole the work that was done in Gaza, the separation from Gaza exercise. He was there. He was involved in the Second Lebanon War. He has a decoration for that. And, of course, in the last Operation Protective Edge. There seems to be a lot of focus on the fact that, not only that he's the father of three daughters, which is, one of the things that the very senior generals in the IDF like to have is a son who will follow their footsteps. And, of course, Gadi Eisenkot was famously pictured meeting with his son in some operation in the north, who his son was serving in an elite unit. And of course, Aviv Kochavi won't be in that particular role, but he's also come through military intelligence, so he knows a lot about military intelligence. He was, as I said before, involved in the Gaza disengagement, so he knows about work on the ground as part of the paratroopers. And of course, now he is the first vegetarian chief of staff. And just to talk a little bit about that, apparently there are 1 out of 18 IDF soldiers who declare themselves to be vegan, which kind of reflects the overall percentage in Israel between, well, no, sorry, it's more than, it's kind of, yeah, it does reflect the overall percentage in Israel, which is between 2 and 5% of Israelis who claim to be vegan. But I think what's interesting is that the IDF has really accommodated vegan soldiers since 2014. They're entitled to leather-free combat boots. They're entitled to wool-free berets. They're entitled to food. Even battle rations now have a vegan option. Originally, the vegans were given an allowance to buy their own food rather than rely on IDF food, particularly those who served at bases where they could get out and buy their own food. But these days, the bases now accommodate vegan food, and indeed soldiers out in the field get battle rations, which have a vegan option. So it's very interesting that the army has really embraced veganism. And of course, we expect that the kitchen at the Kiryah, which serves the general staff, will have a good vegetarian option for the new chief.
Anthony, I have a question about what you were talking about, the fact that he has 3 daughters and therefore this tradition of sons following their fathers into the military. Isn't that really sexist bull? Why can his 3 daughters not follow into the Israeli military? There are senior members of the Israeli military who are female. They've been head of the Israeli intelligence who've been female. There are people who come through the ranks. I think we need to move away from this nonsense and the sexism that has ingratiated our society for so long. So on that one, I call to you, me too.
Mm-hmm. Howard. Absolutely. I accept your call out in some part, Howard. Absolutely. Having said that, the IDF, of course, has done a lot in order to make an even playing field for men and women. There are, unfortunately, still roles that are not available to female soldiers, even though female soldiers really can do a lot more now than ever used to be the case before. They reach senior ranks, unfortunately, still not quite going through that glass ceiling. There is still something of a glass ceiling out there. But the one thing that always occupies the minds of military chiefs is what would happen if, God forbid, a female soldier would be kidnapped during the course of a battle. And this is the one area which prevents the senior military from deploying women in certain combat roles where they really have free rein to do many other things. I mean, I know of women in combat roles out in the field, and I know them jumping out of airplanes and training soldiers in every possible task, to drive tanks and to jump out of airplanes. Paratroopers are being trained by female paratrooper instructors. So I think that there are many, many options for female soldiers in the IDF, and it's probably one of the most even playing fields in terms of allowing female soldiers to have their way. And yet there is still a limitation, and I think we need to recognize that.
All right. Unfortunately, we do have to leave it there. It is about to go 8 o'clock. Howard, morning. Lenny Glasser here. Love that new Hebrew song you just played. How do you spell the song, Lenny? I will give that to you. And in fact, Lenny Glasser, thanks for messaging us.